Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Brian Daboll might be the only guy up for the Bears job that came out clean. Okay, that guy, it wasn't his fault.
Let me think about
but
that.
Everybody else, you could kind of say, yeah, I don't think that guy's
well,
the guy.
Well, you can definitely poke holes in every candidate.
Yes.
Yeah, there was the Leslie Frazier question. Yes. There was the Todd Bowles, like, Todd?
Oh, my God.
And then Byron Leftwich. Yeah. So, okay, I'll go with that. If you want to apply the local angle. But what drama?
Let me tell you something. We are in Chicago. I'm always going to apply.
Absolutely.
The local angle. And
eventually.
The local angle is goodbye, bye, Aaron Rodgers.
It's a snap, high snap, placement made, kick end over end to the uprights, and it is good. The San Francisco 49ers advance.
This is the end of the game.
With a 13-10 victory over the Green Bay Packers on a 45-yard field goal by Robbie Gould. A gut-wrenching, heartbreaking defeat.
Aaron Rodgers got canceled. He gone! And it wasn't just by the woke mob.
I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now.
Woohoo!
What a golden moment that was. And
I got so many texts. I got so many emails. I couldn't believe the reaction from the people that I know. My phone was buzzing like crazy because everyone knew I was sitting there watching it. But David, the assault on Aaron Rodgers was downright spectacular, right up to the Arlington Heights kid running over to the former Bear and saying to him,
"Man, that feels good.
You are a blanking legend."
Yeah, how about
and
that?
Blank the Packers.
It was the biggest Bears win of the year.
Oh, my God.
It felt like that.
It did.
Bears, it was euphoric here in Chicago and all sorts of jokes about Aaron Rodgers at his expense. They could not be funnier. I mean, everybody sort of really thought that Aaron Rodgers had a shot, but we've been there before.
Yeah, I've been immunized.
I've been, you know, obviously dealing with the COVID. I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now.
I like to punch him in his face.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, my God. I got to tell you, I'm still euphoric about the Packers losing. I still don't know why I was so delighted by that, but I can't get enough of it. I'm just genuinely happy. That,
morning, Mully. I think that kind of set the stage for the offseason in Chicago. It's easy to enjoy kind of hearing the Packers try to explain themselves on the Monday after, the day after their season ended, or 2 days after their season ended. But, yeah, that still get a lot of glee out of that.
Oh, it's just so ridiculous. I got a lot of glee out of the return of Zach LaVine. I mean, I was really pleased to see that. They gave DeMar DeRozan a night off, which I guess is like the, you know, the Jimmy Graham day. I don't know how you'd refer to it. But you missed him in the fourth quarter, I'll tell you that.
Well,
They
did win. They hung on.
Oh,
and
boy, did they
hang on. A day after losing to the worst team in the East, they barely beat the worst team in the West. I understand the DeRozan decision. I'm almost glad that they're not trying to push him to the point where he's 32 years old and he's been carrying this team through a lot of injuries and illness, and he's had his own situations. But that was a hard game to watch because you start out and you're like, I don't care who the opponent was. When Io goes off and hits his first 9 shots, I think it was, and
he was good.
He was playing the role of DeMar DeRozan.
You know what's interesting? And I mentioned this to you. I see some of these young guys playing like DeMar DeRozan. Like, Io was knocking out in his threes, and that was the difference in how good he was. But he was also doing the short range. The mid-range game of DeMar DeRozan, oftentimes it looks like he's going to a certain spot on the floor, and he knows that he's magic from there. And he like, that's his spot. So he goes to his spot, and then he does a turnaround jumper. I saw Io doing that. I've seen Kobe White do that. Now, I don't know if he's in their ear and talking to him and teaching him, or they're just watching the way he plays, or he's saying to them, you know I'm going to hit a jumper from that spot. That's my spot. So I go to my spot, and I hit a jumper. Now, he does it. His spot is all over the floor. But I see both of these guys do that occasionally, and I think, wow, they look like DeMar right there.
Well, I think that's a really good observation. And I think that there are more times that Kobe White, as cold as he has been on this road trip, might want to think about shooting more mid-range jumpers than threes, because he has been ice cold from three-point range. But I think what it speaks to is the power of example. And you've got a guy who maybe doesn't get in their ear literally say, hey, you know what, I can hit that shot 60% of the time, so I'm going to keep taking it. You guys should try that too. I just think it's one of those things where he is consistently one of the best mid-range players in the league. These young players see that, and they know that without him, they've got to try to take advantage of the things, you know, that he would take advantage of if he were there. And Io did a very good DeMar DeRozan imitation in the first half. That was a really impressive performance by the rookie, who keeps on getting better. Now, the fourth quarter, it reminded you of how lost the Bulls can be without their point guard and without their depth of experience in the backcourt when they need guys to get lined up and run the offense and beat the press, because they didn't really do that well with Io or Kobe White. But in the first half, you're right, they did a nice job of running the same offense and hitting the same spots as if DeRozan were there.
Yeah. I mean, look, the problem was the fourth quarter when he wasn't there. And all of a sudden they're turning the ball over. And all of a sudden, you know, Zach's not hitting shots. Yeah. I mean, they really put that game kind of on tilt. They were up, what, 28 points?
28 points. And the Thunder have a history of coming back and beating the Bulls.
Right.
They're down that much as they did 2 years ago.
Right.
It was like the White Sox trying to close out a game without Liam Hendricks available. They didn't have their closer, and they had to turn to, you know, everybody else in
Kimbrel.
The bullpen.
Exactly. Disaster.
Disaster. Near disaster. They averted disaster. And, you know, Io fouls out. Kobe White, you know, struggles a little bit down the stretch. Zach LaVine really wasn't good in the offense, helping, and then he had the defensive lapse down the stretch. The fourth quarter was just hanging on for dear life, getting out of there with a victory, and they did.
Yeah, and they did. And that's what matters. And you know, Zach LaVine, 23 points, 6 of 19 shooting, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. Io, 24 points. That's a career high. 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Most of that was in the first half. Avuch night, 26 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 assists. That's a good night for him.
And more active defensively.
Yes, he was.
More involved.
But their defense is awful.
Yeah, I know.
They're awful. The guys can go right down the lane.
I thought Io was
struggling on defense. And Vooch a couple times. I don't know. They're not very good on defense. That's a problem and something they got to work on. We got a great photo of George McCaskey at O'Hare.
We have some video evidence that he was picking up Ryan Poles, the Chiefs executive at O'Hare, walking through the terminal with his letter jacket on.
He's wearing a Bears letter jacket and like a Bears face mask.
Yeah, face guard. Yeah.
Which, but it's just, if you're trying to like surreptitiously meet the GM candidate at the airport,
you're not trying to be hidden.
No, you're not. No,
right?
Not when you're a human billboard.
When you're walking through O'Hare with a Bears jacket, you're basically telling people, but you're willing to be noticed. And
how much do you think that jacket cost?
Oh, I'm sure he got the family discount.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a really nice Bears jacket.
But can you imagine Ryan Poles? I mean, do you think that they were walking to the car that George drove himself?
That's a good question.
Was it an Uber? Was it a limo?
Don't know.
Was Ted driving?
I don't know.
Was it the
someone
car?
Would have to stay outside the,
George was commuting back and forth to Sycamore with?
Have you been to O'Hare recently? It is under construction, and it is, they got to keep you moving. They don't let you hang around.
Walked out and George had a ticket?
I don't think he could double park and run in. That's what I'm saying. So either he's in the lot and he knows where he's going.
Imagine George opening the door. Ryan, could you put your stuff in the bag? Oh, sorry. And there's like a Wendy's bag and there's like, stuff on the floor.
Personal car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah.
His soccer referee
outfit.
He
famously drives like a – what does he drive?
I'm not quite sure exactly the make and model now, but he is said to be a commuter.
Yeah.
Back and forth to Sycamore.
Yeah. It's a long way.
Picks up his own GM candidates, too, at O'Hare.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty fun. But at least they got some candidates, right? So Ryan Poole's in for a second interview. We're getting multiple interviews. So they have now completed interviews. They did this Monday with Morocco Brown and Omar Khan. They have completed interviews with Elliot Wolf and Monty Osenfort. And Ryan Poles getting that second interview.
The report was that those the latter two that you mentioned, Wolf and Osenfort, are guys who are coming back for a second interview.
Okay.
That was reported, I believe, Ian Rappaport last night.
Right.
And they are getting second looks, which would lead you to believe, obviously they've made it to the next phase, whatever that is, however long it takes. But Ryan Poles, Osenfort, and Elliot Wolf right now would be
second interviews.
Yeah.
And as far as the head coaching candidates, Jim Caldwell joins Matt Eberflus. We knew about Eberflus and Dan Quinn. They're all getting second interviews. But today, they're going to have, obviously, Ryan Poles is hanging around, but they are going to be interviewing Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen, who from the Saints is defensive coordinator there. You wonder what's going on in New Orleans, Mully, because the rumors continue to fly about Sean Payton, not to say that he's coming to Chicago. Frankly, they're talking about retirement or the broadcast booth. Where does Dennis Allen fit into New Orleans' future if, in fact, Sean Payton is out the
door?
Could
he get that job?
You would think, wouldn't you?
We have a texter saying, did he drive that little clown car? Meaning when George picked him up. It would be hilarious, honestly. It would be really funny if, George picks up Ryan Poles. They walk out, and there is the car. And Ted jumps out, and Bill Polian jumps out, and they run around the car.
Yeah.
They do the real clown car thing. Polian,
just for kicks.
Polian throws confetti at him. Yeah. Ted falls down and tries to make a snow angel, even though he's in the middle of the concrete. Just total clown car type thing.
Well, then Ryan Poles would say, or be told, you have big shoes to fill. Literally.
That's so mean, but I think people do kind of view it that way.
I think so.
The Ronald McDonald ones, the ones that Nagy used to advertise, right?
That's kind of
the more idea. Like the Bozo shoes.
The Bozo shoes?
Yeah. Size 17.
Right.
Get
a pair of sneakers from Will Perdue.
I think it's fun to poke fun. I just hope they know what they're doing.
Will has size 23 feet or something, right? I mean, honestly, he's
Will
got,
Perdue.
Will Perdue has the biggest feet I've ever heard of. And I remember when we were covering the Bulls back in the day, Melissa Isaacson was giving some sort of speech, and she borrowed a sneaker from him. That was her visual, right? The size of his shoe. You know what they say.
Yeah. Okay.
Big feet, big heart.
Will's got a big
heart. Really good guy. Yeah. We talked to him yesterday. That's what they say. That there's a couple of title games coming up, buddy. How do you feel about that? And they're not the games we might have imagined. There were some upsets. I don't know if you're following it. The Bengals are at the Chiefs, and this is Sunday, followed by the Niners at the Rams. And the Chiefs are getting seven, or giving seven, excuse me. So it's Bengals plus seven, and it's Rams plus three.
Yeah, I think that's...
Or Niners get three.
Yeah,
from the Rams.
Niners getting three.
My God, I'm gonna have to teach myself how to talk.
It feels like the Rams are having one of those kind of runs, and I think you have respect for what the 49ers have done. This is an early look. It's only Tuesday. But I have a hard time seeing how the Rams lose this game.
So the Rams win, and then they host the Super Bowl. We've seen
how about
that before.
That?
Yeah.
If it
but
were,
you know what? They're trying. Did you see this? They're trying not to have Niners fans there because they've played there before, and half the audience.
It's a partisan crowd.
Well,
for the Niners.
Yet the Niners are like a really big team. The Rams are relatively recent to L.A. Just
well,
saying.
Even if they were in L.A. for a very long time, it's still L.A.
Yes.
And you still wonder about
people
the level
care.
Of passion and
yeah.
commitment that a football community is going to have for an NFL team. So they're trying to limit. It's kind of like the Blackhawks going into Nashville back in the day, and they tried to limit how many people get through the door. I don't know that there's a home field advantage in terms of the crowd. There's going to be a comfort advantage for the players because it's easier to obviously play a home game.
Right.
But I just don't know what kind of advantage there is. Could there be a home field disadvantage because of how distracting it is when you hear how many 49er fans are there?
It's a great point. It really is. All right, we got to get to the 5 at 5. We're going to pick apart the stories of the day as we do every morning. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Are you surprised the Bears haven't at least hired a general manager at this point? Does that indicate Ryan Pace was a surprise firing for George, Ted, and company? Did they take themselves by surprise on that one? Are you more amused or depressed by their process? Do you trust it?
Trust the process. I mean, that's. I thought that was like one of the... Is that only in Philadelphia? I think that's one of the buzz phrases in sports. Trust the process. It's super weird that they're moving at the pace they're moving, and now they're finally getting to some second interviews, in-person interviews with some people, and their list, even as their coach list is shrinking, it's actually growing because they're still interviewing people. So I guess it's just weird. I think they had to know. If you're firing a general manager and a coach, you should have your candidates already lined up, right? I mean, you should know already. You shouldn't need to go through 15 different Zoom calls to reinforce what you already had thought. The idea being, if you knew you were firing Ryan Pace, why didn't you have all these candidates lined up? Why wasn't it? I don't know. I mean, listen, they're going to end up with a general manager and with a coach maybe by the end of the week. And I think we're all going to be like, oh, okay. I don't think it's going to be one of these like, wow, can you believe what they did? I think it's more going to be, oh, okay, let's see how this one works. I don't think there's going to be a ton of enthusiasm given the finalists on both sides of the ledger. But for me, I just try to zero in on that idea that you planted in my brain, and thank you for that, that Ryan Pace is gone. And so things are different. So that's what I'm focusing on, the positive, not on the negative.
Yeah. I'm more amused by it all, to be honest with you, than annoyed or depressed. I think when you take a big picture view, I would agree with that, and not just because we talked about it last week, but this is an overall upgrade at both positions, and that's the focus. For me, it's just premature to form conclusions. I understand the tendency to want to do that. I understand the instinct to be cynical about everything the Bears do. But I'm trying to stay objective here and look at some other examples of things they might not be copying, but certainly may be imitating. You look at the Colts, and I've said that before. It was February 11th when they hired Frank Reich. They may be accidental, but they got that right. They made their early mistakes. He's been a good coach for them. You look at the Buffalo Bills. You know, they hired Sean McDermott in January. Doug Whaley was their general manager at the time. They fired him after the draft that year, Molly, if you remember that. Brandon Bean was hired in May. That was an arranged marriage. You look at the San Francisco 49ers. They're still playing. John Lynch was hired late January of 2017. He hired Kyle Shanahan after the fact. You know how they got together? Kyle Shanahan called John Lynch after Lynch said something nice about him during the playoffs. They struck up a relationship. And that arranged marriage has gone very well, blissfully, if you will, in a football perspective. So you can get it right by having these sort of accidental pairings or arranged football marriages. Not saying it's ideal, but I also don't think that I'm going to jump to conclusions and just assume the Bears are botching this process because it's going on longer than people want it to and because there are more people included than is typical. So I'm amused by it all, down to George McCaskey showing up at O'Hare in jeans and a leather jacket and picking up Ryan Poles to drive back in whatever sedan he is driving this week.
The waiting's the hardest part of everything. We're not just built that way anymore. We used to be much more patient people, and that has gone down the drain. And I do believe that something happened in the last week to 10 days at Halas Hall. I think they intended to have Ryan Pace make this call. I think they knew they were moving on from Matt Nagy, and I believe they knew that back at Thanksgiving. I do. I don't think that report was that erroneous, and I think because it got scooped is the reason that they didn't fire their first head coach midseason for the first time in franchise history. So I think the reason it's taking this long is because they didn't know that they were going to get rid of Ryan Pace. And it goes back to the press conference that we all have tried to put in the rearview mirror, but I'm going to go back to it anyway. You know, George telling us he can't recall when he brought Bill Polian on to start looking closely at his football team. Really? I mean, did you bring him in like week 16? And he was the one that told you, hey, by the way, you know, this Ryan Pace has got to go too? Or was it back before Thanksgiving? Is that when it happened? I mean, that's the part that bothers me still to my core, is that he won't tell us how long Bill Polian's been in his ear.
I'm sure that he could probably just check his parking receipt from O'Hare when he picked up Bill Polian at the airport to tell him when they first.
Now, do you think they've met in person? Do you think Bill's been in the room with the Zooms, or is it like a seven window Zoom with the Bears people and maybe the agent for the coach or GM candidate?
Well, I don't think there's any need for them to all be in the same room, do you?
I'm just curious. I mean, my point
now
is,
I do.
Has Polian been
well,
here?
Well, now that you got the guy there.
Well, I mean, if you're bringing people in for an in-person interview, I would hope that the entire committee is there.
Yes.
I would like to see how that person performs in front of a crowd of people evaluating his future.
Yes, but
up until that point, no.
Yeah.
And now let's take, I mean, I know this isn't the question. I'm not asking you, but something to think about maybe later on in the show. If we take the three right now supposed GMs that are getting a second crack at this and the three head coaches that are getting a second crack at this, what combination would excite you? Because right now it's kind of like, okay.
That's a pretty good question. Well, I think we got all show to figure
right.
out.
I don't think it fits in 5-5 or pick six. I just think it's like, which one could you sell the best? Which one would go over unlike a you-know-what in church?
Well, that's a good question.
What do you think of the three coaching finalists for the Bears? According to the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Jim Caldwell, Indy defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, and Cowboy defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. The list could grow since Saints DC Dennis Allen interviews today, and Bills DC Leslie Frazier could also be added. Good or strange?
Well, here's what's strange about it to me. Brian Daboll, Brian Flores, and Doug Peterson are not on that list, and they are not coming back for second interviews. And those are guys that, to me, if I'm casting the net for a head coach, you know, I'm past the Harbaugh thing. I accept what's real about that and what's mysterious. But Brian Daboll, Brian Flores, and Doug Peterson, they fit into a category of things that I would be seeking if I'm George McCaskey, okay? The fact that they're not on that list presumably yet is a bit strange to me. So that's the strange part. Jim Caldwell, the more I'm talking to people and we're hearing, you know, the more this is a Bill Polian, perhaps / Tony Dungy production. Jim Caldwell is highly respected around the league. There would be more scrutiny from the media and fans than there would be among fellow coaches, perhaps. He's 67 years old, but I think he has respect. Eberflus, I kind of like as a dark horse candidate. I kind of like as what I've heard about him, the leader, not necessarily just the defensive coordinator. I like Eberflus. Dan Quinn's interesting. Dan Quinn is interesting to me because he's getting a lot of looks now, and he'll be on a second go-around for a lot of things we liked about Todd Bowles. You think Dan Quinn fits too. He also won an NFC title. He would change the culture. He's Mr. Football. He's very a football coachy football coach. So and Dennis Allen doesn't do much for me, to be honest.
Leslie Frazier
would be difficult to, I think, excite the fan base about. I have a lot of respect for Leslie Frazier, but I think given the people who they have talked to, I would feel like that would be a hard one to sell and support, even though I have a ton of respect for him, the football coach and former Bear. So, yeah, it's more of us. You know, everybody comes with an asterisk. I think you could, depending on who he's hired with, and depending on how they present it.
It's strange. I mean, I'm sorry. It's strange. Jim Caldwell is 67 years old, and he's the veteran of this group, and he's also the only offensive mind of the group, right? So You got, you know, Eberflus, Dan Quinn, and Leslie Frazier are all defensive coordinators. You got Leslie Frazier, Dan Quinn, and Jim Caldwell are all former coaches. I just think that I'm not sure that there is one designation. I'm not sure that because Caldwell, maybe, I don't know what they're looking for. I'm not sure. You know, Leslie Frazier's been rumored for a long time. He and Caldwell are kind of the veterans of the group. Dan Quinn's got some age on him. Eberflus is a grown-ass man. I just think it's just interesting what they're looking for. Does that mean they go younger with the executive? You know, Ryan Poole is a very young man.
36 years old.
Yes.
They would likely go that way, but then you have...
So that's what I'm saying.
You have to have somebody who's had experience as a head coach, don't you?
Yeah, the mixing and matching is kind of what's curious. You know, there's no Todd Bowles on that list, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no Brian Flores on that list. There's no Doug Peters. It's just a different list. I don't know that if I had just given you all the names, you would have picked in this group.
I want to know why Daboll is not on that list. I think everybody deserves to know if you're a Bears fan, because he right now, waking up Monday morning,
is the hottest candidate.
He's the hottest guy out there.
Yes. It's weird. And he's going to be hired by the Giants by it. So they'll
you would think that. It's heading in that direction.
I guess that's what's happening. I don't know. But if that happens, that's a combination that's pretty interesting, because you rated one team and, you know, I think that's kind of cool. They know each other. They could work together. I'm definitely going to be monitoring that, and I'll be monitoring how they do versus how the Bears do. Listen, we don't even know what the combination is yet, but this is strange. There's no way, there's not a shadow of a doubt that this is a bit of an oddity.
When you look at what other teams are doing, because the Bears are also, you know, you're competing against seven other teams. Now, not four other teams need the GM/head coach combo, and then seven other teams need head coaches. And Denver's got like a list of finalists too, that if you said, okay, here's three names for Denver, none of those really do anything for me either. I'm almost like, wow, the Bears didn't latch on to any of these guys to be a finalist, because Daboll's not a finalist in Denver either. Here's the scariest part for Daboll, is that Daboll gets that job with the Giants, and then Daboll takes Ken Dorsey with him to be his OC. That would be a potential move up. Or does Dorsey stay behind with the Bills and take over for Daboll? Because the one guy you guys mentioned, I said this last week, but I'm going to repeat myself. The only way you can sell me on Leslie Frazier is if you give me Ken Dorsey. And the question right away with Eberflus and the rest of them is, who's your guy? So Eberflus's OC is who? Dan Quinn's OC is who? Caldwell's DC is who? That's what I almost want to know. That
Caldwell is such an it's such an outsider. You know what I mean? He's like you say that. First of all, he's not coming from a current team, right? He's
5 years has been since he's been a head coach.
Yeah,
he was last with Miami, right? Is that his last
2 years ago?
A couple years ago, right?
But that's his last pro pro job where he was at. I mean, I would think Jim Caldwell would make sense in a place like Jacksonville, where they really need to hit the restart button overall. Like, when John Fox was hired by the Bears, and a lot of people hated that era, but at that, Dan Pompeo said this a lot, and I don't disagree with him, but we don't know who the Bears are. What exactly are the Bears? Who are the Bears? I don't think they're that. We know who the Bears are. I mean, I don't know that they need to reset themselves and prove who they are. They're still a really tough, hardcore football team that gets after the quarterback. I do believe that. I think we know that. I do, and they have a really nice piece at the quarterback position that could be molded and taught and developed. I don't think they're rudderless. When John Fox came in, they were rudderless. I think Jim Caldwell is the type of coach that can fix a rudderless team. I don't think the Bears are rudderless.
Well, I think
the one
thing with Jim Caldwell, not to be ageist, but you envision the Bears hiring a head coach that's going to grow in step with a young quarterback for the next 5 to 7 years, 3 to 5 years, whatever time frame you want to put on it. And it's hard to envision.
Well, 3 to 5 he could do.
Yeah, but 5 to 7, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're
I agree.
The beginning 5 to 7 is a lot. You're the beginning of your tenure if you're a franchise quarterback. If that is, in fact, what Justin Fields represents to the Bears, then 5-7 is a conservative estimate about how long he's going to be here and win. And you would envision them hiring a coach that's going to grow in step with him. And a 67-year-old guy does not seem to be ideally that guy that fits that criteria.
You know, Dustin, you said this before. Well, let me just throw this at you. Look around the NFC North, okay? Say Aaron Rodgers leaves. Which quarterback would you want to build your team around? Is it Goff? Is it Cousins? Is it Jordan Love? Or is it Justin Fields?
I think it's a two-foot putt. It's Justin Fields.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Justin Fields based on that choice.
So, therefore...
The job's attractive.
Well, you're not a rebuild. You're a win now.
And that's the only reason I'm not for Jim Caldwell. I don't think the Bears are rudderless. I don't think this is the whole thing needs to be realigned and we need to have a compass and we need to set our position.
But you got you know, you're in a storm and you got a seasoned captain who can come in and direct the ship and teach that young player how to get through.
I think the way you're explaining it is exactly the way the Bears are looking at it with Jim Caldwell. I think it's exactly the way they're viewing this, and that's why he's a viable candidate for this job.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question.
Are the Kansas City Chiefs your lock to win the Super Bowl at this point, or do you believe the upstart Bengals can pull off an upset? How big an upset would the Bengals need? Can they score with KC? Can they stop Mahomes? Can they stop Mahomes and company from scoring?
Yeah, that is, I mean, listen, the Chiefs are the team, man. When you look at the Final Four, I'm not saying that they're the lock and they're definitely going to win, but that's the team. They've been to the Super Bowl. They're going for their third straight trip to the Super Bowl, and they've got the team. That is the team. They're at home. You know, the Bengals shouldn't really be here at this point. The Bengals are ahead of schedule. The Bengals don't even know what the pressure of the playoffs really means because they're so young and they're so good, they're just going to win. And Joe Burrow can take 9 sacks and still stand up and be able to make a play. You know, he and Chase, that is an unbelievable combination that's going to be really good for a really long time. Joe Mixon is an interesting player that can really help them. They've got some pass rushers, okay, but they're basically this offensive skill position team that is ahead of schedule. I think they can be explosive. I don't know that they can score like Patrick Mahomes. I think there's a reason that they're a 7-point underdog, and I think that the reason is that, you know, normally a team would be well satisfied to have gotten to a championship game at this age with this inexperience. They just seem like they're not aware. They're just, it's almost like they're not intimidated by it because they don't realize how hard this is and they're just playing another game. I think that's fantastic. I think that makes them really dangerous. But I would say of all the teams left, Kansas City would be the lock to play in the Super Bowl without a doubt.
There's no doubt. Can you imagine what it's like to be a Chiefs fan in Kansas City? You are about to host, go to, watch, participate in whatever, your fourth straight AFC championship game in town. That's a home game. That's unbelievable. That consistency is something to be respected, admired, and in the case of the Bears and combining our other story today, to be copied. That's why Ryan Poles was in George McCaskey's car last night. He's part of the winningest organization in the AFC the last 4 years in the NFL because the Chiefs just know how to win. There's an expectation now throughout their organization that permeates every aspect of every decision that they make. So that's a winning franchise. So that's going to carry the day. We'll break it down and we'll talk about it. And I love Joe Burrow, you know, but it's not 1988, and it's not going to. You're not going to be able to find a way to see the Bengals get to the Super Bowl. I really have a hard time envisioning that scenario, and I don't think there's anything wrong with them getting to this point because they are sort of just nonchalantly winning their way into the AFC title game, and Joe Burrow is just as cool as they come. They've got talent. They've got weapons. I think we maybe underestimated Zach Taylor. I didn't think he was a coach that probably had this in him, but good for him. And the Bengals are probably as far as they're going to go, and that's okay because the Chiefs They're the class of the AFC. They're the probably odds-on favorite to win it all, and they certainly are the prohibitive favorite to get to the Super Bowl after hosting the fourth straight AFC title game.
Yep.
The first-place Chicago Wolves return to the Allstate Arena this Wednesday against the Texas Stars, and we'll be honoring all the healthcare heroes out there. If you are a medical pro, visit ChicagoWolves.com to get your free tickets and cheer the Wolves on to another victory. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves. I'd take this back to the wild card weekend, and we made our predictions of you know, whose check, my check, you would bet on any game, and we all agreed that the Bucks on the money line would beat the Eagles, and that was never, there was never a doubt. And I think Sunday afternoon in Kansas City, there will never be a doubt. And I'm sure if you're a Bengals fan out there, oh come on, you guys are disrespectful. Okay, fine. I'd be shocked if the Chiefs were behind, even though they kind of stumble around in the first quarter for some reason. So I wouldn't necessarily say bet the first half unless it's like under 3.5. It's like 2.5. We'll get into all that later on this week. But I feel very confident. I predicted Chiefs Bucks in the Super Bowl. So I'm still alive that way. And I had the Chiefs beating the Bucks. That was my prediction. So Patrick Mahomes is fun to watch. Patrick Mahomes is good for football. I mean, little kids like him. Young people like him. See a lot of Chiefs jerseys.
Are you saying
around.
That was your preseason pick? Is that what you're saying?
No. That was my Super Bowl. When we did our Super Bowl picks on this show. When the,
oh,
when
the before brackets the season started? Oh,
no. When the brackets. I couldn't remember.
Right. I had the Chiefs. Somewhere. But I had them over, I think, Seattle. I wanted to take, like, a bad team from the NFC West. And so, I feel like if the Niners get there, my thinking was correct.
Good.
I think I had something crazy like the undefeated Chiefs versus the undefeated Bucks, going back to our preseason. Like,
yeah, right. That's pretty good.
Whoops.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
The Bulls welcomed Zach LaVine and Javonte Green back Monday night against the Thunder, but gave DeMar DeRozan the night off due to load management. Given the Bulls had lost 7 of 9 heading into Monday's game, was this a good idea? Do you think this strategic resting will be part of the second half of the season?
I don't know if it's going to continue. I thought it was a calculated risk, but there was risk involved. That team needed a victory. There was no doubt, and there was a sigh of relief when they hung on by 1 point to a lot of people who might have bet on that game, and Bulls were getting or 1.5-point favorites. Might not have felt so good about that, but that was that was a game they needed to have. I don't know about the load management thing. You know, Zach LaVine was coming back. I'm surprised he played as many minutes as he did. He wanted to play. He was a willing participant. You've got to watch his swelling on his knee, I guess, now.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a thing. I'm more likely to be in favor of Zach LaVine's load management than 32-year-old DeMar DeRozan. Look, everybody's entitled to do that. This is today's NBA. You've got to be smart and play the long game, especially for a team that you're waiting to get healthy in 6 to 8 weeks. When are they going to be back? Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso, maybe 6 to 8 weeks. So I think everything you do in terms of planning has to be getting your team whole in 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm okay with that. I was surprised last night at that news that DeRozan was sitting out, but I guess if you're going to pick a team on your schedule over the next couple weeks to rest DeRozan against, it was the worst team in the Western Conference, and they just hung on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, did he score 41 in that bad loss to the Magic? I think that he's been getting, like, a lot of minutes, you know, and I got no problem loading up minutes on Io and Kobe White and young guys that are in a different situation. But 32 is old in the NBA, man. And I think that it's about What this is really about is they played Monday and Wednesday and Friday and Sunday, and now they're playing on Monday, and they play again tomorrow. I think it's the games coming so fast and furious, it was wise to give DeMar DeRozan a night off, especially since it worked out. But, boy, if you would have seen me in the fourth quarter of that game, I wasn't too happy that they gave him the night off. And I was really concerned that, and I wonder what the conversation would be if indeed they had lost that game. and DeMar DeRozan was given the night off. I don't know that you can afford to lose any games. I think you got to take every game pretty seriously, but I think now it puts you in a significantly better position tomorrow because you gave them the night off and you won. So it is a difficult thing to sit here and criticize it in light of, you know, the victory. But they did get a couple players back, so they gave them a night off, and they're trying to be smart about it, and I don't have a problem with it.
Well, Will Perdue told us yesterday that the Bulls were reeling and they needed to do something to stop that. So when I first saw that, and that didn't come out, that came out about 55 minutes before tip-off that DeMar DeRozan was getting the night off. That wasn't like...
It wasn't orchestrated before that.
And maybe it was because Zach went through the shoot-around and was good enough. Maybe that's the reason it got announced when it got announced. But I'll tell you what, the tone of this show and the tone of this person right now with the mic open would be completely different. It would be really the first time I would have come down on Billy Donovan because I believe Will Perdue was right. The Bulls were reeling and they needed some good. And when you're playing the worst team in the West, that's when you got to get that. Sometimes, you know, you go to the track and you can't pick a winner. So you bet the 1-5 just so you could say you cashed a ticket. That was one of those games. The Bulls needed to win that game. So if they had lost that game with a healthy DeMar DeRozan on the bench, I'd have had an issue with what Billy D did. So well, Bulls win, Bulls win, Bulls win.
You say Billy D, but that's got to be an organizational decision whether to sit him or play him.
Now, David, that's a whole – like that's very interesting, too.
That's got to be AK and Eversley and everybody involved.
Like, that's
– that's got to be.
Do they get involved that way?
Yes, absolutely
true. No question.
Okay. Absolutely.
And I think they've got to be monitoring it,
too. That would have really been the first time I came down on AK, but I wouldn't think he'd be involved with a decision like that on a sleepy Monday night in OKC.
There are no sleepy Monday nights in OKC when you're the Bulls reeling and needing a victory. Right. So he absolutely, I think, was probably
it was a huge
in the
win.
Middle consulted, of that conversation.
He was consulted on it?
Yeah.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
Are you fired up that MLB and the Players Association are planning a second meeting after sitting down for a couple of hours yesterday? Is the back-to-back days of negotiation a positive sign? Will they resolve this thing already, or are we getting set up for more failure?
I got to tell you, I was delighted to hear they're going to meet for the second day. They only met for a couple hours, right?
2 hours.
Yeah, it's not like they I don't know how far they got, but they made a shred of progress. Oh, well, you're giving a little bit on this thing and that thing, but you still were miles away. The only way that's resolved is by sitting down and talking it through and explaining why this and that. This is a good sign because it means they're going to communicate for 2 days in a row. And that is pathetic that we find that to be a good sign. But, hey, try another couple hours today. Maybe go back at it. I mean, just stay there. And you know, we've talked about this before. They met in order to agree on some things before. And that's once you get in, like, kind of agree mode. Listen, training camps will start in mid-February. You're running out of time if you really want to get the season started correctly. So, you know, I think the Sox have a good team this year, and I want to see them play.
This was absolutely good news for baseball fans. The players conceded two things on free agency in terms of service time.
Right.
Also, revenue sharing. They came off their point a little bit. Those were two of the three that the MLB considered non-starters in terms of their ability to budge. The players took a step in the right direction. They get back to the table today face-to-face, in person, which is key. So there's reason for optimism and there's reason for hope, and the clock is ticking. So we're at January 25th. You don't want to go later than mid-February, certainly. You don't want to delay spring training any more than you need to. You certainly don't want to delay opening day. So this was a step in the right direction. Let's hope for more positive headlines later today.
I'm going to stick to the same thing I've been saying. I'm not down on this. I'm not fired up about this. Until we miss a game, then whatever. Whatever they agree upon, fine with me. Just don't miss any real baseball games. I don't think you need spring training to be as long as it has been for all these years. I think it's different times, different athletes, different training. So a lot of useless squatting and throwing, in my opinion, in spring training. But good news, of course, and I'm all for the good news.
312-644-6767. That's the number. It's Mully and Hall on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.